You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
And so they go out and they need to feed their child and they don't have money. So you maybe have to, they're put in a position where they feel like they either need to shoplift some bread or go hungry that night.
July the 13th, 2020, the words of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Congresswoman of New York, explaining why there's been a spike in violence in New York. I have not seen a spike in bread shoplifting. I haven't seen a spike in any food lifted. I've seen a spike in tennis shoes, TVs, CDs, other electronic equipment and phones. I guess that also helps feed the family. Well, I guess it does if you then can sell them off to someone else. No, this is again the liberals looking for any way to blame a crime spike and increase on anything other than the real situation. The reality is that you have opened the door for them, and you want to defund police even more. The New York City Police Department already cutting $1 billion from its budget, and for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, that's not enough. Not enough. She says we want to defund the police. She means defund entirely. Take every single dollar. You know, in Seattle last week, the city council passed a resolution to cut their funding for police in Seattle by 50%. 50%. The police chief is now on record saying that is wrong, dangerous, and it's simply a political move. Thank God she's speaking out as she is. We'll see how long she remains as police chief. And with all of this going on, the violence, the backlash, all of this stuff, do you think we're going to see coming November even more folks rushing to the polls to vote for Trump? Because realizing if the Democrats get control of the White House and the Senate and maintain control of the House, that's the road we'll be going down. COVID-19 update, New York City. For the first time since all of this started, New York City had a day without a single COVID-19 death, at least according to the reports. Now, is someone fudging and holding back for one day and will submit tomorrow or today or whatever? Who knows? For many of them, it is a numbers game. And it's a numbers game in particular when they can pin it on Donald Trump. It's not so much a numbers game if it's looking bad for blue cities and blue states. And, of course, this numbers game is zero. They like that, and they're highlighting it. Well, I hope they did have a day without deaths. I don't wish anyone to die in New York City because of COVID-19, but I'm just asking, are we getting the facts or fiction? COVID cases are up dramatically in Florida, no mistaking that. And what are you going to do about opening schools? Pelosi says, do not trust Trump. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's been dangerous. Well, do you remember what Pelosi did back in Feb when all this first broke? She wants you to forget it. I'll remind you coming up a little bit later. And what about opening universities? Harvard's talking about online courses. You want to, and you'd still pay $50,000 to go to Harvard, but you'd be doing it from your basement in your mama's house while you're eating Cheetos just to get that Harvard degree. Federal executions, there was a plan, a decision to resume federal executions immediately by Attorney General Barr in the last few minutes. A federal judge in D.C. issuing a stay on all pending federal executions, including one set for 3 o'clock Central Time this afternoon. We're going to look at that and general update on death row inmates and executions later in the next 2 hours. And the cancel culture continues. The Redskins are saying we will drop the name. We don't know what we're going to name the team yet, but we are no longer going to be named the Redskins, as we have been since the 1930s. And I have a question for you. Do you remember a time, recent time, when the public showed up in the streets applauding police, praising them, thanking them? Do you remember a time like that? I was watching a movie last night about a real life event. And that's exactly what happened. I know you will know the event. I'm going to share that with you. Not just the event, but when police were actually loved and appreciated. We've got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. I appreciate you being here. Please let your friends and neighbors know we are on the air for the next 2 hours. They don't want to miss any of this. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
So are you ready to get out from the COVID-19 scare? We might still need to be careful in some areas. I do encourage businesses to make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And of course, if you open up and then a client or an employee or someone else surfaces with COVID-19, you need to reevaluate what's going on. I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. They can determine at a very reasonable cost what you need to do before you open, once you are open, and as you move forward. It just makes good sense, doesn't it? Wellington Environmental, for 30 years, has been treating situations at hospitals, schools, daycare centers, private homes. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
To be honest with you, no matter which way things go, there will be further cuts, not only to SPD, but citywide. I do not believe we should ask the people of Seattle to test out a theory that crime goes away if police go away. That is completely reckless.
Those are the words of the Seattle Police Chief, Carmen Best. Crime's not going to go away, and cutting the police budget by 50% is reckless. And she also added, it's political. Well, of course, it's political. We know that. It was political when the mayor of Seattle decided to let the protesters take over a six-block area, rename it an autonomous zone, no police allowed. And they held the six-block and then down to three-block area for several weeks, and no one could get them to break apart, even once violence started. Shootings inside the CHOP zone, ending in the death of a young black teenager. He wasn't shot by police, someone inside the zone. And then they had more violence the following week. But the breaking straw for the mayor of Seattle was when one of the council members led protesters right to her door. And the mayor said, my address is supposed to be protected. You basically have put me in harm's way, me and my family. And then she said, all right, shut everything down. So they moved in with the bulldozers and finally took everything down. Thank goodness it did not erupt into more violence at the scene. Some of them who were still there were just tired. I'm sure some of them had worked so hard on that community garden to plant their crops. Remember, they started putting in crops? They were putting in seedlings and seeds. Within the first 2 days they were there, they were going to grow their own garden so they could be self-sufficient upon their garden. How soon did they think the crops were going to pop out of the ground? Did they think they were going to come out in cans ready to open? Who knows? But, of course, the garden is no more. It means nothing now. It never fed a single person unless they wanted to chew on some of the seeds. But what we do have across the nation is what can we do to shut down police departments? All of this, of course, following the death of George Floyd. Obviously, a case that was wrong and should be dealt with, but it has become such a bigger story now in the sense that they want to go after every police. I don't care how good they are, what good they've done for the community, they want to shut it down. Well, here's what the police chief of Seattle is telling the mayor. She sent a letter outlining, you want to cut 50% from my department? Let me tell you what's going to happen. We're going to have to close one precinct, and patrol officers will have to focus exclusively on 911 calls. The biggest cuts would be involving all of the department's investigative units. Even homicide, violent crime, sexual assault, sex offender units would see some drastic cuts, but they'd try to keep them alive. But there would be near elimination of auto theft, burglary, theft, domestic violence, elder abuse, family services, fraud, forgery, gain, high-risk internet crimes against children, narcotics and vice units. Those are the ones that are going to be cut hard, along with harbor units, traffic units, and SWAT teams. But see, the city council thinks it knows best. The council president, during a news conference, said, I've spent 15 years thinking that this is something we can reform, that we didn't need to throw the baby out with the bathwater, but I'm not convinced that is not the course of action we need to take. Now is the time to divest from the police department. Divest from the police department. In other words, let the thugs and criminals know it's almost an open-door policy in Seattle. They already got that idea by the mayor just kind of letting everything happen at the Chaz Chop Zone until they showed up at her door. Another council member who chairs the Committee on Budget in Seattle stated, the proposal outlined by Decriminalize Seattle and King County Equity now is the North Star for our moral compass. It is the institutional policing itself that must be dismantled. What do they think is going to happen when all that is put in place? Now, these council members are not going to be worried about their safety. They've already hired private security. Oh, they're going to have their safety. It's the rest of you citizens, you peons, you were just, good luck with that. But we're doing what we need to do. We're going to begin to shut down the police department, divest itself. And again, the Seattle police chief says, I do not believe we should ask the people of Seattle to test out a theory that crime goes away if police go away. That is completely reckless. It's an abdication of the duties every leader of the city swears to when they take their oath of office. Of course, it's not just in Seattle. We've seen the same thing in L.A. and New York as well. And of course, not only in the cities, but school districts. They don't want police officers in the buildings anymore. They're afraid that it might frighten kids because there's a man there with a gun, even though he's a police officer. Do you remember the incident I told you about the other day at the ice cream shop in Seattle where a guy walked in, gave him $500, said, look, this is to pay for ice cream for every police officer that comes in. It's on me, up to $500. Please do so. Word got out. Police officers started going in. But then the shop owner said, my people are getting frightened. They see so many armed men coming in, all these police officers with guns on their hips, and they're frightened. We can't allow it anymore. So they put up a sign, police officers, if you're coming in, you're welcome, but you have to leave your gun outside. Right. I really want them to have a need to call police and then see what happens when they just don't get around there for a while. I don't want to get hurt. I don't want anyone to get hurt. But I want them to be in fear of not having police around. They need to have an awakening. And then in New York, like I said, Bill de Blasio agreeing to cut $1 billion from his police budget for New York City. It's a $6 billion budget. He's cutting $1 billion. And he thought that that'll satisfy the liberals like Ocasio-Cortez, and I'll show that I'm definitely with them. And I mean, I even went out on the street and helped paint on a Trump Plaza Avenue right in front of Trump Towers, paint Black Lives Matter on the street. I helped with that, so they've got to see. They've got to see that I'm working for them, that I'm a good guy. No, Ocasio-Cortez says that's not enough. It's not enough. And yes, we have seen crime ramp up again in New York City, jumping dramatically. Now, I don't mean just shoplifting and just car thefts, but attacks, violent crimes, and murder crimes and gun crimes escalating. It has nothing to do with the idea, of course, does it, that we're not going to really want the police around. We're willing to cut their funding. But Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, as you might have heard a little bit in our opening monologue, she knows why there's an increase in crime. Here's her explanation, and you have to have a twisted, warped mind to follow her thinking. Here we go.
So why is this uptick in crime happening? Well, let's think about it. Do we think this has to do with the fact that there's record unemployment in the United States right now? The fact that people are at a level of economic desperation that we have not seen since the Great Recession? Maybe this has to do with the fact that people aren't paying their rent and are scared to pay their rent. And so they go out and they need to feed their child and they don't have money. So you maybe have to, they're put in a position where they feel like they either need to shoplift some bread or go hungry that night. Maybe it's the fact that unemployment provisions have not been given to everyone. Maybe it's because of the fact that some people still haven't gotten their stimulus checks yet.
It could be some of those, maybe, you think? Before the employment numbers rocketed because of COVID-19, the crime was not as much as it is now. So, yeah, maybe it's unemployment. But even when everybody was employed, the crime in New York City and Chicago and Detroit and other blue cities led by Democrat mayors, we're still seeing record crimes every weekend in Chicago. I don't care. The unemployment was down as low as it was. Everything was looking good. The economy was cooking along. Everything doing great. And they were still having their crimes. Why? Well, because the blue city mayors are afraid. They are afraid to step up and stop crime because it might be a voter. It might be a voter that they want down the road. As if they think the gangs and the thugs are actually going to the polls to vote. AOC says it's because maybe people need to shoplift some bread to feed their child. No child should go hungry in this nation. No child should go hungry. But I'm just thinking how many probably lapped up that water as she poured it out, saying it has to be. They're hungry for bread. Well, if that were true, we would see a big run on the stores and grabbing all the bread and all the food off the shelves. Nope, I haven't seen that. That's not what they're looting and going after, is it? I'd mentioned L.A. earlier about the wanting to cut ties to the police agencies inside the school, not only L.A., but other cities as well. And Governor has said he's all in favor of it. The L.A. mayor said so. Now the United Teachers Los Angeles has out a research paper, and the union in L.A. wants more money by defunding the police. Say, give us the more money. Give the more money to the educators. And they want to see Medicare for all with that money you're saving. And here's a statement they put out. Police violence is a leading cause of death and trauma for black people. Well, now, wait a minute. A leading cause of death and trauma is police violence? That's not correct. It is not correct. Is it a cause of death and trauma for some blacks? Yes. But a leading cause of death and trauma, police violence? No. Strike the word police and just say violence is a leading cause of death and trauma, and you got it correct. But based on that, they're saying we must shift the astronomical amount of money devoted to policing, to education, Shifted also to other essential needs such as housing and public health. And don't forget, we want more money for the union. And we want Medicare for all. Then we'll be happy. And there'll be no more violence. Really? That's what they think? It's that kind of thinking that is permeating the left at this point, even to the extent that some Democrats are realizing this is not going to go well for us. This is not going to help us. There are individual races and counties and Democrats and Republicans, and then into congressional districts and Senate races. They're realizing, I cannot stand in front of my constituents and my voters and say, I am for taking dollars out of the police department and putting them into some kind of education program or housing. No, the answer would be, let's find money to put into education and housing and public health, but not at the expense of taking it out of the police department. Police departments are an easy target right now. And I mentioned in the opening monologue, when was the last time you remember police being praised and applauded in the streets? I'm going to remind you of one before we wrap up the next 2 hours. There was a program I was watching last night that just drove that point home. We'll get to that before we finish today. But in the meantime, what about the backlash to all of those who claim defunding police is a good idea? The backlash to the libs and the leftists, and even the Seattle mayor is facing backlash inside her own city. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You know, I have not even talked about what's been happening in downtown Portland over the weekend. They've been going on for nights and nights now of violence in their streets. And federal agents were at the federal courthouse trying to protect it once glass got broken. And so they're standing around the U.S. courthouse, federal agents inside, trying to protect it. And you know who was complaining about the federal officers? The Oregon leaders, including the governor of Oregon. They're upset, and they got upset in part because federal officers had to release tear gas and other crowd munitions, controlled munitions, on the protesters, and one of the munition-type rubber bullets, whatever it would be, hit a protester in the head, sending that person to hospital for facial reconstructive surgery. They don't bother mentioning that some of those attacking the police, one of them with a hammer, hit a federal officer in the head with a hammer and was also using it to break the glass. They don't mention that. Because it's a protester. He's kind of entitled at this point, right? They're saying the cycle of violence must end. And President Trump deploying armed federal officers to Portland only serves to escalate tensions. Well, the police department of Portland is already, is overstrained already in Portland, so they needed the federal agents come in try to protect the courthouse. Because they were not going to let that fall. You might let your city precinct headquarters fall, but not that. And they've got a new group that's shown up there. It's not just Antifa. It's a group that has an entirely new name, something about a youth group and so forth. And they are, again, hijacking any belief that the Black Lives Matter movement has validity. These guys are coming in, also calling themselves anti-fascist, a youth group, as they're calling it. And they're looking to grow, and they're trying to establish a Chaz Chop in Oregon, in Portland. The backlash to this, I mentioned a moment ago, the mayor of Seattle, a judge in Washington, has approved a petition for a recall election. That, yes, they can go forward to get signatures to put the recall measure on the ballot. They need at least 50,000. I don't think they're going to have a hard time getting it, even though it's Seattle and a blue area. I think they'll come up with 50,000, and there won't. They want to recall her because they accuse the mayor of endangering the peace and safety of the community. That's all you need to know about it, the safety and safety of the community. Reason enough to recall. Oh, by the way, the Minnesota governor, you know, after all that happened in Minneapolis, after George Floyd's death, and all that violence, and the mayor did nothing, the governor did nothing to shut it down for a while, and the president made it very clear, if you don't do it, I will send in troops. Well, suddenly they decided to get their act together, and they put an end to it. And now they're coming forward and asking for, we want millions of dollars in federal aid to repair damage to our buildings and infrastructure destroyed in the riots. They let them run rampant, do what they want, because they didn't want to stop them. And now they want federal relief up to $16 million. They're estimating the total damage in the city, $500 million. So they give us $16 million of federal dollars. President Trump, critical of the governor and what they've been doing, said, no, not going to give it to you. They might end up getting some of it after a thorough review of what they're doing and how they'll spend it, but for right now, saying, nope, not going to do it. And, of course, COVID-19 continues to be another issue that's been weaponized for this election coming up. And some are convinced all that's happening will end up being a tsunami of blue wave. So please stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've just announced, I take it, that you're canceling all large events in New York City through the end of September. So what went into this important decision?
Wolf, it's all about health and safety first. And this is obviously the thing that President Trump doesn't understand. We don't just decree that we want things to happen regardless of the human impact. We actually look at the science. We look at the data. And the data is telling us it is not time for large gatherings. No, we don't need big events anytime soon. We've had a lot of success making New York City healthier. We got to really stick to that plan.
So describe large events for us. What does that mean?
It means like street fairs. It means, you know, big outdoor concerts. And it means things like parades. You know, things that here in the city can mean not just thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. It's just not time for that now.
What about protests? If people want to march down Fifth Avenue, are they going to be allowed to do so?
Look, Wolf, this is always an area of real sensitivity. If you're just talking about health, we would always say, hey, folks, you know, stay home if you can. But we understand at this moment in history, people are talking about the need for historic changes. I mean, today in New York City, you know, recognizing the power and the meaning of the message Black Lives Matter, which we did in front of Trump Tower today. This is a historic moment of change. We have to respect that, but also say to people, the kinds of gatherings we're used to, the parades, the fairs, we just can't have that while we're focusing on health right now.
The words from last week, Mayor Bill de Blasio in an interview with Wolf Blitzer on CNN and NNN. And Wolf asked a good question. He said, so you don't want any of these major events out on the streets, but what about protests? And the first thing de Blasio does, go to the Democrat playbook. Well, the protests are a sensitive issue, Wolf. If we're just focusing on health, yeah, we shouldn't have it. But we're willing to accept that this is a political time of change. And, well, wait a minute. Mayor, is your duty, your responsibility to allow political activists to do what they want in the street or to protect your citizens? You are going to protect your citizens. You say, health-wise, we should not have any major large gatherings. But when it comes to a protest, that's a sensitive issue. And we recognize how important it is that these folks get out. In other words, the health be damned. Don't worry about it. And, of course, he had to work in the fact that he was out there helping paint that Black Lives Matter statement in front of Trump Tower in New York City to pandering, exactly what he's doing. I've got a piece here in front of me that shows that several big city mayors and top officials have been acknowledging that the weeks of anti-police protests and riots certainly may have contributed to surging coronavirus rates. This is weeks after Democrats and even some epidemiologists openly encouraged these rallies in the streets. Officials in L.A., Seattle, Miami-Dade County, Florida, indicating there's some kind of link, obviously, between protests and new cases that has to at least be considered possible. And yet still you got Mayor de Blasio and others acknowledging, no, nobody's getting sick because of our protest. And, of course, now he can say, for 24 hours, we have not had a death, a COVID death. So, couldn't have been because of the protest. We have seen spikes in various parts of the nation. And if you want to say, well, it's because those states and cities were opening up too soon, not showing proper restraint and ordering folks to maintain distance and our mask. And when they do that, they're always blaming Republican governors and mayors. Okay, that's fine. Well, riddle me this. What happens when you turn 8,000 inmates free and just let them begin to roam about your state or about the country? Right now, in California, they are considering releasing some 8,000 inmates into the general public. Just let it, get them out. Because we're afraid they might get COVID-19 in here. And being in a confined space, they might spread it faster. So they're going to go ahead and just release 8,000. Californians for Safety and Justice executive director said, we're glad the governor is taking action to release more people. And he adds, this is absolutely critical for the health and safety of every Californian. How is that good for the general California resident? They're not in jail. It's the inmates that are in jail. How are you going to make their lives safer and better by letting 8,000 inmates out? Oh, I'm sorry I asked such a good question. We shouldn't have done that. And, of course, we're still dealing with what's happening in Florida. I pointed out to you earlier. Florida now has hit a grim milestone as of yesterday, shattering the national record for a state's largest single-day increase in positive cases. These are positive cases, of course, documented by testing. And there has been additional pressure upon hospitals, apparently. But in Florida, 15,299 testing positive in one day. 45 deaths recorded. Some have pointed out if Florida were a country, it would be the fourth largest outbreak in the world, country-wise. And, of course, they're still trying to decide, when can we open the schools? Can we open the schools? Nancy Pelosi has an answer to that because she thinks if you listen to Donald Trump, you're going to endanger our children and the rest of us. Please listen.
The fact is that the president has been a failure in every way, right from the start, his denial, calling it a hoax, his delay, and all the rest have gotten us into a very bad place. But we want to go forward, and where we go from here is not to listen to the president, because he doesn't listen to the scientist. It's very, very sad.
So she said, don't listen to Trump. He's not listening to scientists, and he has played this wrong from the beginning. Can we hear the beginning of that one more time, Quentin? I want you to hear her opening words, because I've got something else I want to share with you. Go ahead, please.
The fact is that the president has been a failure in every way, right from the start, his denial, calling
it a
hoax.
There we go. Right from the start, his denial, a failure in every way, right from the start. Do you remember what Nancy Pelosi was doing in the start of all this, Feb 24, when the president had begun to shut down flights from China? Not allowing flights or those coming in from China. Of course, by then, we already had many of them in the California area, and we had many, of course, in New York City, either from China or Europe, which had also now been infected, Italy. So Trump was doing something then, and Biden mocked him, saying, you're showing you're xenophobic, you're showing that you're fearful of yellow people. And Pelosi doing the same thing. And Pelosi, well, she just got through, you just heard her criticize Trump saying he doesn't follow the science, he only speaks of what he wants to, and he's not paying attention, he's not a good leader. And Pelosi said, He didn't pay attention then. He was not being serious. Well, what was Pelosi doing at the same time Trump was doing what he could to stifle flights and personnel, people from coming from foreign countries into our nation? What was Pelosi doing? Feb 24, she had gone to downtown Chinatown, and listen to what happened.
Here we are. We're, again, careful, safe, and come join us.
We just want everybody not to be afraid to come to Chinatown.
Don't be afraid to come to Chinatown. Here we are, back in Chinatown. Come on down, join us for lunch. Was that akin to being extremely safe and cautious and paying attention to what was happening, or was that appealing to a political base by Nancy Pelosi? Oh, you know the answer. And politics are everything at this point. As I mentioned a moment ago, some Democrats right now are so confident that they're going to be so great in the 2020 elections, they are predicting a tsunami, sweeping not only Trump from the Oval Office, but sweeping Democrats into full control of Congress. In other words, taking over the Senate as well. The Washington Post reporting just yesterday, President Trump's management of this summer's crisis has triggered what Democrats detect as a tectonic shift in the political landscape. They're talking about the coronavirus. They're talking about race relations, the economic slump, which, of course, is not his fault, but he's also turning it around, and, of course, his own personal style. They think all of that will lead to a tsunami, a blue wave. Well, the polls ahead, Biden so far ahead, are now beginning to slip a little bit. A new Hill-Harris X general election poll that came out, showing that Biden leads Trump, but only by 4% in a general election vote. Trump had been 8 to 11% down, depending on which polls you're looking at. Even, I think, the average of all of them had Biden leading Trump by 6+. Liz Peek, writing for the Fox News outlet, pointed out that Democrats do not see, not taking notice of a backlash against the leftist mob and how it's growing. She was referring specifically to Goya Food CEO the other day. Remember when he was at the White House Rose Garden with other Hispanic business leaders and the president praising them for all they're doing to help our nation and help minorities, especially in their own communities? And here came the leftists demanding, you can't be Hispanic and support President Trump any more than you can be black and support Trump. And they called for a boycott on all Goya food products. A boycott. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Democrat in New York, again slamming the CEO. And yet, that CEO, under his direction, his company, has donated thousands of pounds of food to needy New York families hurt by COVID-19. And it employs something like 4,000 in the area. What has AOC done? Huh? I'm asking. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So we're waiting to see what schools across the nation are going to do. Public schools and private schools, and everything from lower education to institutes of higher learning, as they're well known, including Harvard. Harvard's already said what's going to happen. They're only going to allow 40% of its nearly 6,800 undergraduate students on campus this fall. Only 40%. The vast majority of them will be freshmen. And then added that all classes are going to be held online. So even though they're on campus, they're not going to be going to classes. They're going to do it online. So I guess they'll be in the dorm rooms. And you know kids in a dorm room, they're going to all cluster in one or two rooms from time to time in common areas. That's just what they're going to do. But Harvard thinks this is the best way to do it, so we're not going to do it. And Princeton, Stanford, Johns Hopkins, and other universities announcing reopening days, saying, again, most classes will be held online. In fact, according to the Chronicle of Higher Education, about 60% of colleges and universities are planning to allow all students back in classrooms, but the rest are saying, nope, we're not going to allow them in the class, and we're going to give them online classes. You're still going to pay $50,000. You do know that. At Harvard, you're still going to have to come up with $50,000 a year for your education online. You could go to a lot of these universities that offer an online program at any point, and a hell of a lot cheaper. But, of course, the Harvard degree is mainly meant to be a ticket to the elite, showing I've got my credentials here. This is part of my legacy. This is part of my heritage now, and that I am a Harvard student and a Harvard graduate. And I'll be able to get above someone that came from Howard County Junior College in West Texas. What do you think about that? You think the parents should just go ahead and plonk out the money like that? And in some of the courses, by the way, last year, some of the students, when they were suddenly shut out of their dorms, told to go home, there was no refund. There was no refund sent to the parents. No refund for room and board and all that stuff. In many cases, they're saying, well, we'll apply it for the next year. And, of course, if your student doesn't complete in 4 years, well, then you've got money for still the rest of the year that they might need. Harvard's going to continue to charge full tuition. Full tuition. And what they're also trying to do is offering a $5,000 room and board allowance going to every student who's eligible for financial aid who does not live on campus. Where around Harvard are you going to be able to survive on $5,000 for the period of time of that semester? $5,000 over a semester? In many states, according to one source, $5,000 spread over a semester is less than what someone would make from working a full-time minimum wage job. And even according to the Harvard University website last year's academic year, $17,600 for the full year, about $9,000 a semester. So they're not really issuing a lot, and yet they got the money. They got the money to put it out. They've got all these endowments and trusts and everything else. You know Harvard has it. They're not going to part with it, and neither are many other major private schools. Looking at a piece that Steve Hilton, who's with Fox News Channel's The Next Revolution, had to say about what's happening with all these schools closing up and saying, well, we're going to do it, but we'll do it online. He said, if your child's school will not open this fall, demand your money back so you can find an alternative. It's your child. It's your tax dollars. Why should you pay for a service you're not getting? That's our new campaign. Reopen schools or give me my school money back. Take it to the courts. Of course, he's talking about public schools where, again, you're being taxed to provide for the public school and they're not going to be doing any of that at that point. And, of course, do not forget, we have a lot of students when it comes to especially the lower schools, lower grades, they're going to school, one, it's their only touch outside the community with some kind of social network, and two, where they can be observed by teachers and so forth, that maybe this child is in stress or not being treated right at home, things of this nature. And, of course, sometimes just the food, that there's not enough food in the cupboard at home. And they were counting on going to school and getting food. They might make fun of the cafeteria menu, but they'll eat it because they're hungry. You think that's going to matter to any of these leftists at this point? Coming up in the next hour, where do we stand on executions in this nation? A federal judge just put a stop to the Attorney General's decision to move forward with all federal executions. One was supposed to happen in about 3 hours from now. It's been stopped. And we're going to look at President Trump commuting the sentence for Stone, Roger Stone, and the cancel culture, targeting the Redskins and winning. And also Let's remember a time when we stood around and applauded police and praised them instead of throwing rocks and bottles and bricks at them. It's all coming up in the second hour. Please stay with us.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.